This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Hey, thanks, Eric MacLean. Always joins us on a Monday. But, Wes, we've got the best of the weekend. We got the worst of the weekend. We went through wide receiver U.
Yep.
But there were some happenings from the weekend worthy of conversation piece.
No doubt about that. Clemson-Notre Dame, the stage is set for the championship game. It'll be a week from Saturday, December 19th, 4 o'clock on ABC at Bank of America Stadium in Uptown Charlotte. Be a rematch of a double overtime ball game from early November, and one with a lot of anticipation that will build in the coming week and change. And, you know, we'll cap it all for you here as we ride up to kickoff on the 19th. Both teams were victorious in their regular season finales, if you will. Tigers took care of Virginia Tech. Slow start. Hokies did a good job controlling tempo. Four corners football, if you will, right, Pack on Saturday night.
That's what it was.
Virginia
it was
Tech
smart.
Did a really good job trying to milk the clock and limit possessions.
I thought Justin Fuente had a perfect plan. Hey, let's just play keep away. You know, we can't get into a shootout with these dudes, so best thing to do is keep them cold, right? Freezing cold. And I thought Virginia Tech's first half execution was out of sight. And I know there'll be some Hokie fans, Pack. We had three timeouts in our back pocket. Why would you try to score? I think Justin Fuente was just trying to get it to halftime. And then next thing you know, Herbert breaks a run. They got a chance to throw one deep at the end of the half and almost pulled it off. But the second half, Clemson defensively was tremendous. I gave you that stat, negative 11 yards in the first four touches for the Hokies, and they created turnovers. And, you know, Clemson's just too good, and they're too talented, and eventually they're going to break loose. But I was surprised, and I'd mentioned to you last week, we're overdue for a Travis Etienne weekend, and that didn't happen again. 66 nope. yards or something along those lines, and everybody's just putting nine dudes in the box going, hey, listen, you know what? We got to take something away. We don't want to sit there and put Etienne on a one-on-one. If you miss a tackle, boom, he's gone for 80. So we'll force Trevor Lawrence to, you know, have to hook up with his wide receivers. And so you got to choose your poison. But I thought Virginia Tech's game plan, quite frankly, was really, really good. It was just a matter of, hey, how long could they hold on? And when Clemson's defense started making plays, it changed everything. And next thing you know, that thing got out of control and Clemson wins going away. But for at least a half, the Hokies were doing a good job. I just worry about their quarterbacks moving forward as they get ready for Virginia, because they really, really got banged up. And Hendon Hooker, I know we haven't talked about him yet. Man, it did not look good on television, but apparently due to medical reports that it's nothing serious from what I've read, which thank goodness for that, because it did not look good watching that game Saturday night.
Yeah, the other situation that developed was when Hooker had his condition, then Braxton Burmeister got hurt. Knox Kadem, who had not taken a snap, I don't believe in an ACC game this year, came in at quarterback, a true freshman from Rome, Georgia, to finish the ball game for Virginia Tech. What it makes it interesting is, what's the run-up going to be like to the Commonwealth Cup in primetime here on Saturday night with Virginia and Virginia Tech at Lane Stadium, and that's our primetime ball game presented by Geico. Pack, I want to go back to Justin Fuente's game plan here for just a moment, because we all know that future opponents pull something from previous opponents, right? It just happens. That's part of the coaching acumen to get ready for the next game. Notre Dame seems fairly equipped to do what Virginia Tech did. Not that they didn't do it in the first game, but in a roundabout kind of way, what Virginia Tech did the other night might play to Notre Dame's strengths a week from Saturday in the title game.
Could very well. I mean, listen, you don't want Trevor Lawrence and his guys to touch it 10, 12, 14 times in a game. If you can make it 6 to 8,
right,
go for it. I mean, listen, you did a gazillion Georgia Tech games. That guy Paul Johnson always did a great job figuring out a way, hey, we're just going to condense the game. Yeah, you may end up scoring 30-something on us, but you know what? You're going to be pressured to think that you have to score every time you touch it. Now, Notre Dame's talented enough to say, listen, we're just going to go play our game. And if you go back to that first game, they had the lead. They always seemingly had the lead, right? They constantly played with the lead until they were down 7, had to make a stop, got the ball, go 91 yards, touch, we go to extra football. So, again, the buildup of Notre Dame-Clemson is going to be awesome. I said it at 7 a.m. The ACC, for the first time ever, has the championship game. You pick a league, I'll tell you, you've got a good game, but you don't have the game. The ACC has the game. 2-3.
Yeah.
Rematch of the best game we've seen so far this year in college football. And both of these teams are worthy of winning the national championship. And for the Atlantic Coast Conference to have a championship game, you've never been able to make that statement. Well, you can now for the next 2 weeks. So, again, you'll hear all kinds of different hype and nonsense from other leagues and so forth. And, again, I think Bama, Florida will be an awesome game. I think both those teams are certainly good enough to win it all as well. But there's nothing bigger than Notre Dame and Clemson coming up on December 19th. Nothing.
Yeah. By the way, along the way, Clemson joins a couple of other teams for most consecutive championship game appearances in FBS history. Tigers will be making their sixth straight appearance in the ACC championship game presented by Dr. Pepper. They join Northern Illinois from 2010 to 2015, Dave Doran's tenure in that group with the Huskies. Marshall from 1997 to 2002. And, yep, that's right. Oh, get us. 92 to 96 with the HBC pack coaching Florida. They went five straight times.
Poor old, I tell you, old Dabo keeps lapping on Spurrier, doesn't he? Keeps laughing. National championships. Now we're going conference championship appearance. Old ball coach. Old Dabo's put him in the rearview mirror. How about that?
Yeah, the old HBC.
God bless him.
Yeah, Dabo. So the Tigers impressive in their victory at Virginia Tech on Saturday night. Notre Dame equally so, by the way, against Syracuse on Saturday afternoon up at South Bend. Ian Book took a final bow at Notre Dame Stadium pack and made it count. To be honest with you, he was outstanding.
Slow start, but like I said, it could be a lot of stuff. I'm not looking for excuses. Notre Dame doesn't have to come up with any excuses. They played 10. They've won them all. They're number two in the country. They are senior dominated. They've got a quarterback that's playing great. They play terrific defense. Their offensive line is awesome. Their backs are terrific. Their tight ends, wide receivers have developed. I mean, Brian Kelly's done a great job. And Notre Dame, for the first time ever since Dirt, Notre Dame has now gone back to back to back to back 10-win-plus seasons. And for a tradition-rich program, that's a pretty impressive accomplishment, especially during this pandemic year.
Yep. Ian Book, by the way, is the just the second quarterback in the last 25 years since 1995 to have three passing scores and two rushing scores in a game. Did you read the notes here on who the other one was, Pac?
I did. And go ahead, because I'm going to give you another story. I'll let you finish.
Everett Golson.
Yep. At that. Wouldn't have guessed that one, would you? That's a
you
bar bet. Have.
That's the bar bet question. There's the bar bet, right?
No doubt.
Yeah.
By the way, how did you like the Ian Book interview midway during the third quarter of the Clemson Virginia Tech game? Did you like that? As a broadcaster. Forget about the league. Forget about all the stuff. Just as a broadcaster.
It was fine. I get the idea. I get the concept. If Clemson had a working margin, you know, go ahead and talk to Ian Book about a game that was going to happen in 2 weeks, I guess. But, you know, it was okay. How's that?
I can tell you're lukewarm on that. That me reading you, I tell you that I'm sensing you thought that was a lukewarm. That's what I'm sensing.
I was also lukewarm on some of the commentary and editorializing about officiating, too.
Oh. Would you like to go further on that? You want to move
on? I'm just going to say that there's, you know, look, I'm not sure that it's anybody's position to call a league out for its processes. No league is perfect. I'm not sure we need to stand on a platform in primetime and tell everybody that the league's not very good at it. Especially when your company's invested in the league, but that's another story.
Oh, there you go. There's that West Durham hot take. That's what I was looking for right there. Oh, I like it.
Just saying.
Okay. Now I'm getting something from you. I like that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that.
We got more to come on the Monday show. Don't forget, we've got a women's basketball doubleheader, easy for me to say, for you here on Thursday night. Good ones, too. Conference matchups and ladies' cards starts early. North Carolina Wake Forest at 6 o'clock. That's Courtney Bangart and Jen Hoover matching wits in Winston-Salem. Then Quentin Hillsman takes the Orange on the road to Coral Gables to meet Katie Meyer in Miami. Thursday night, women's basketball doubleheader starts at 6 right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. When we come back, the best of the weekend.
Oh.
How about this little deal at the Peterson Events Center? Explain that. Oh, no. Oh, not my cutout. And Dabo gets drenched in the orange Gatorade next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Best of, worst of. We got a laundry list of stuff here. But we start with positivity. Half full, Wes. We've got some good ones from the weekend. There's some good best of the weekend stuff here. You're going to like this.
I feel like you ought to start with the number one item on
All
here.
Right,
I really do. Because I know you and Drew, our producer, you guys love this show.
We both love Jeopardy and the late, great Alex Trebek. And we hinted upon this a little bit, I think, on Friday. At least I did on the radio show. That if you are a fan of the program, you should have watched Friday night. And the reason for it is it's got a tie to college football. And for our particular world, a tie to the ACC. That woman right there would be Catherine Ryan. If you're asking, all right, Pack, I don't get it. Who is that? That's Mack Brown's daughter. And she didn't just show up. She didn't just say, hey, listen, I'll take the parting gift for $1,000, Alex. No, she showed up and took everybody's money. She won on Friday. So if you're watching Jeopardy tonight, get that all over you. So how about that? We're going to lead off again. This league is, we always talk about this league. Yeah, we can talk about championships, winning games, all that stuff. This league's also tied into academics. Being smart counts in this league. It's part of the deal, right? It's part of the deal. So why not tie in Mack Brown, his daughter, Jeopardy, big money, and going for another W tonight. So Catherine Ryan, congratulations. You lead off the best of the weekend in the ACC. There you go. Pretty cool story.
There you go. A couple of quarterbacks become their all-time winningest quarterbacks at their respective institutions. We'll start with Ian Book. Sets the mark with Notre Dame by beating Syracuse. 30 wins. Passes friend of the show, Brady Quinn, right?
Yep, my favorite.
Yeah, congratulations to Ian Book. Well done. Well done. Same for the former Fighting Purple Hurricane from Cartersville, Georgia. Ladies and gentlemen, Trevor Lawrence with the victory over Virginia Tech on Saturday night becomes Clemson's all-time winningest quarterback. How about that, Pack?
33.
That's a pretty good list, too.
Yeah, 33-1 is not bad. You go through that list, Taj Boyd and this guy Deshaun Watson, Rodney Williams. We talked about that a little bit last week. But congratulations to both these guys. And on top of that, Trevor Lawrence did something where he has now beaten every team in the ACC at least once. Now, I'll just let that one marinate a second, all right? He has beaten every single team in the ACC once. He's only played 3 years. That includes Notre Dame, by the way.
That's right.
All right? So
that's right.
When you sit there and tell me about, man, we got the best quarterback of all time. Well, that would be one of those bar bets you bring to the table and go, well, did your quarterback beat every single team in their respective league? Yay or nay? Because this dude has. Yep. Pretty good. So congratulations to both of them. They handle themselves with class and can flat out play. So good for them. Good for us.
Other career notes, Christopher Dunn of NC State became the Wolfpack's all-time leader in field goals. Boy, has this guy been good, by
Since
the way.
Dirt,
Holy
Wes.
Smokes.
Since dirt. Since dirt. Get that all over you, Chris Dunn. Every NC State kicker that's ever showed up on campus wishes they had Chris Dunn's numbers.
Yep. 56.
There's NC State in the red and white.
Number for Christopher Dunn.
Yep, the red and white of NC State right there. See that, Wes?
That's exactly right, back.
Red
and
white.
Yes, I did. Yeah. Okay, a couple of other things that we need to throw in here for best of the week. The Peterson Event Center, where Pittsburgh plays basketball.
Love this. Look at this thing.
Can I get a Zamboni.
Can I get one of these for my house? Seriously. Say, hey, Mrs. P, Merry Christmas. You don't ever have to worry about the hardwood floors again. I want a red bow on that sucker right there at my house for Christmas. Look at that thing, Wes.
Look at the guy. When I saw this, I want you to look at that guy in the yellow coat who's obviously in operations of some sort on the other side. If we can replay that real quick, I want you to look at that guy in the yellow coat because he is like compelled. Look at it. He's captivated by the Zamboni. Look at that thing. My gosh.
Wes, there's got to be a remote control for this, right? I've already done the blimp in the Greensboro Coliseum. This is my next deal. I want the golf cart, the cross country, and I want the remote control for the Zamboni for the Pitt basketball game. That's on my list.
But
how cool would that be for a
has,
Christmas gift
the
right
the
there?
Remote.
Mrs. P, hey.
That'd be good for you.
Mrs. P, perfect. I've looked all over for a great Christmas gift for you. You know what? Those hardwood floors we've got in the top two and three floors, no problem. I got it covered. We're going to have our own personal Zamboni.
Diamonds, watches, new cars.
New Beamers. Zamboni forget all that. Floors. I want the Zamboni. Hardwood floor cleaner. That is perfect for Christmas.
The leprechaun mascot at Notre Dame.
Talent.
If kicking ever becomes a problem for Brian Kelly, we got your guy.
He made it, too. How about that? That was pretty good.
Inside the right upright.
Now, Wes, you're more of a soccer guy than I am, and so you have a better appreciation for soccer. I'm trying to learn the sport. You know, I told you, I'm trying to learn. But that was a pretty talented move right there.
Right.
Got like it.
It was. Yeah. ACC football on Saturday from Charlottesville. Dennis Grossell threw for 520 yards. We knew BC was flinging it this year. They hadn't flung it like this before. Dennis Grossell started some games last year, Pack.
Yeah.
He didn't throw for 520 in a month.
No, right.
He didn't throw for 520 in a month last year.
Ties Doug Flutie's record. Shame he couldn't have broken it, right? I mean, it's amazing if 520 is a tie. Because he would have thought 520 had to be a W, right? That had to be a record book by myself. Exclusive. But no, he's tied with Doug Flutie for the 520 spot. Pretty good.
Yeah. No doubt. Canes shut out Duke the other night. Saturday night, Miami threw the shutout. First road shutout in 20 years for Miami.
It's kind of surprising, isn't it? We would have thought in a span of 20 years, they would have had at least one weekend that they put the goose egg on somebody. But Duke is, like I said, Duke, you know, turnover, 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 turnover. I mean, you can't keep doing this week in, week out, five turnovers. And what's that move is right there? Like Wes Durham on the Christmas party.
Easy.
Duke Florida State this week is a true loser leave town match, isn't it? I mean, just Florida State,
wow.
You know, we've talked about it. I mean, it feels like it. It feels like the old Gordon Sully loser leave town match.
Leave town.
Right? It's what it kind of feels like. Duke Florida State.
All of a sudden I'm doing mornings with Gordon Sully and Bob Caudill here.
But you know what I'm saying?
Wrestling,
I mean,
for a belt Florida's, and a loser leaves town.
Florida State's won two games. One's against Jacksonville State. The other one is North Carolina. They haven't won in forever. They haven't played in forever. We know about all their issues. We haven't talked, you know, we just leave it at what it is. And now here's Duke that's just trying to get to the end. I mean, they went 3 weeks, didn't play a game. Turn it over every time you see them.
Yeah.
It just kind of feels like okay, hey, somebody's going to win this game. You guys get it? Let's go play. Duke, Florida State this weekend. Yeah. It's an accounting special. That's what that is.
Dabo gets an ice bucket in freezing temperatures at Blacksburg.
And wanted it.
look at this, and takes it.
Yeah, he like,
just takes it.
Yeah, you see all these coaches dodging it, like they know it's coming, and they know something behind them. Dabo said, nonsense, man.
He got all,
I'm going right after.
Dabo got all zipped up.
Oh, yeah.
Got all zipped up.
Look at
up.
2 degrees in Blacksburg.
Complete Pelham, Alabama move, by the way, by the Tiger head coach.
He
okay.
Face first. Face first. Bring it on.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Complete Pelham move.
Oh,
Georgia Tech had lost in 4 overtimes to Georgia State and to Mercer, and the welder got it done on Sunday. Josh Pastner's team, with Moses right in front,
Moses
hammered Kentucky.
And went him close. I tell you what.
No, it wasn't.
I suspect the talk shows in the Commonwealth this week are probably stirred up, don't you? All the Satterfield news got, you know, Louisville fans upset. And of course, he's staying. And now you got Kentucky basketball that, quite frankly, doesn't look like Kentucky basketball. I suspect the Commonwealth, yeah. I think both Commonwealths, quite frankly, will be rocking this week between Virginia Tech football and all the stuff that's going on, hoops and football in Kentucky. It'll be toasty this week.
And a quick passing word here for Olivier Sarr.
Wow.
Olivier from Toulouse in the Occitan Peninsula in province in France. You can change address, but you cannot change the result, my man.
Yeah, he was kind of quiet yesterday. Surprising. I mean, he's a good player. We've had
0-3 against the Jackets.
Yeah, I know. It's weird.
Yeah, 0-3.
But, you know, where Georgia Tech really, I mean, not only was Moses Wright great inside, but, hey, you only turned the ball over 6 times. You got a chance.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, we've talked about North Carolina turnovers, Duke turnovers, and the numbers in the low 20s. You spot a 6 spot on turnovers for a game, you got a chance to win. I'm talking about basketball now, not Duke. Duke football, don't listen to me. I'm talking about basketball this time. 6 turnovers. You can win.
I don't know how this made the best of the weekend. This was not a shining moment, and I'm not very proud of it.
Why not?
It looked like I was struggling in the seats on Saturday morning.
What are you talking about? You got
Larisha Harris, bless your heart, for helping me out.
Man, in the sunshine.
Yeah, but early, most of that game pack, I looked like I had been on Franklin Street the night before.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't want to get in your past, but
tilted over in the seat.
I don't want to get in your past, but you know what? You got the sun in your face. Beautiful day for football at Keenan Stadium. Seniors going out. You know, fake left, go right. A little 45-degree angle. Never hurt anybody. As long as you're not, you know, face first. If you go face first, that's a problem. You're 45 degrees, hey, we can get you down the street a little bit. We can get you there. I don't look good.
Thanks. All right. We'll get to the worst of the weekend here coming up. That would have been on my list for worst of the weekend.
No.
Huh?
No.
By the way, what was going on here? Whoa, we got our best people on it. Right?
Yeah.
We had our best people on it. We'll come back. Worst of the weekend is next with Packer and Durham on a Monday on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Monday. We just went through the best of the weekend. And again, we give you 50-50, right? There were some things from the weekend that were not necessarily up to par. So with that said, Wes, where would you like to lead with this one?
We got a little bit of a basketball issue in this league.
Yes, we
right
do.
Now. And it's not an on-the-floor issue. Unfortunately, it's an off-the-floor issue. 1/5 of the league is paused at this point. Louisville, Syracuse, and NC State all have some degree of issues. Wake Forest, Louisville, and NC State, for sure. Syracuse had an issue affect a game the other night. Won the ball game against Niagara. But Wake, Louisville, and NC State have all paused. Syracuse is still, for the most part, able to kind of continue on a path, but those other three pack, their games are in danger this week, and that includes the start of some conference games too, by the way.
Yeah, there's no question about that, and it's not exclusive to the ACC. If you're a college basketball junkie, which most of us are, we also saw a number one versus number two matchup get postponed between Gonzaga and Baylor. And, of course, the Zags they're on the shelf for 2 weeks. They're going to lose four games out of all this. So it's just what we have. And, again, we get the ACC Big Ten Challenge getting cranked up, which I know we'll talk about a lot tomorrow. I hope we have some games, right? I mean, exactly right. You cross your fingers and say, hey, I hope we have some of these games and get a chance to see these guys compete and do their thing. But and there are no guarantees, much like the football, like everything else. You just kind of hope you embrace what you get. But, man, it's been a tough stretch for ACC Hoops in terms of getting jump-started, getting some of these games in, already postponements, cancellations, and it's going to have an effect. I mean, you'd be naive to think that, oh, we'll get past Christmas, it'll be smooth sailing in January, February. It won't be. So, again, we just got to do the best we can. That's all you can hope for.
There you go. Boston College ground game. Not the best Saturday.
No. Oh, not very good at all, as a matter of fact. Unless you like the negative, unless you're playing golf, red seven, negative
-7. Minus -7? Pack?
That ain't good.
BC? Offensive line?
Yeah, well, you're throwing it for 520, though, Wes. He's got time to run it when you can sling it all over the yard. There's a lot of teams around college football that were slinging it this way. I mean, I was watching a team as talented as Florida, and the Gators are really good. And Kyle Trask has had a great year, but they can't run the ball either. I mean, they forget it. So, you know, just what you got, man. You just try to move that thing downfield the best way you can. But the BC was throwing it all over the yard, but running it was a problem.
Yep. Duke and turnovers. Has this been too common a thread for us this year?
Ditto every week. Like every week it's 3, 4, 5. Gosh, just wonder sometimes, you know. It's like injuries sometimes, Wes. You know, you just have years that sometimes you just never have an injury. Guys seldom get nicked up. Then there's some guys you can't get out of bed without turning an ankle, or turnovers are the same way. Sometimes you just can practice, and we get under the real game action and you can't hold on to it. Duke has been a nightmare. 35 turnovers this year. 35. It's crazy. Then they get Florida State this week.
Yeah, it is.
Hard to beat anybody.
By the way, Boston College would give you these numbers every week, and they're still unbelievable. But BC had a positive test going into the ballgame on Saturday, too, Pac.
Well, I think this is one of the best stories of the year in college football, where everything has been talked about how many guys are out, who's not going to be able to participate, are you going to have a game, game day cancellations, can't play this week, is the league going to have to change the rules? I mean, we've had it with COVID. It's one of the reasons I think Boston College should be put on a pedestal, because their story with the COVID testing this year is so remarkable that when they got a singular one positive, it was a headline. Yeah. It goes to show you how sensational a job that they have done, and their medical folks, all the staff members, the players, the coaches. I mean, a tip of the cap for what has been unbelievable. What they've pulled off during this pandemic. Really spectacular.
Yep. I hate to do this, but it was on national television. Will Spires, maybe not his finest moment with a punt the other night.
No, look like me out there. This was ugly. And again, you got the wind, you got cold, and that thing just went dead right. I mean, dead right.
Yep, sure did.
Will's had a good year, by the way. He's had a really, really good year. But
no doubt.
It happens. Hey.
No doubt.
When it comes to kickers, we could probably put kickers on here every week in some shape, way, or form. But this looked like a little 60-degree Andrew Brooks up-and-down wedge shot right here. Up over the bunker. No green to work with.
No, Pack.
Short-sided.
Pack. If Drew Brooks is hitting a wedge shot, it's going to be straight. This looked like my 60-degree wedge. This looked like a open face 60 toed to the right.
Oops.
Yeah.
Shanker.
Miles 60, not Drew Brooks. Drew Hazel. Brooks got game now.
Yeah. Well, I'm just trying to pass it.
Hazel. Off. El Hazel. Exactly. Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah.
Bogey.
Other note from Saturday night. Yeah, bogey. Double bogey. The other note Saturday night, Virginia Tech found itself in a little bit of a quarterback predicament because Hendon Hooker had something develop. Braxton Burmeister got hurt. Quincy Patterson went into the portal last week.
Yeah.
So he was not available. And that left the true freshman Knox Kadem to finish the ball game against the Tigers, which also begs the question, who starts for Fuente Saturday night in primetime for the Commonwealth Cup? Now, Kadem, a bit of a dual threat, former Rome Wolf. So we'll see what happens.
After we got done with the Ian Book interview and the game resumed, I was concerned about Virginia Tech's quarterbacks because I wasn't thinking about their game currently because that game was over at the time. But you're thinking, hey, you know, next week is Virginia.
Right.
And you have got to keep people upright and healthy. And again, the shots at the sideline of Hendon Hooker, he didn't look good at all. And again, Burmeister had the towel over his head. And, you know, you saw the replay of how he got knocked out. You're thinking, yikes, that couldn't have felt good. So you were just thinking, hey, Virginia Tech, you got to figure out a way to get this thing over with and hopefully have enough guys to be healthy for your arch rival next week. Because this game has gotten away from you. But, I thought Knox played okay. I mean, you know, he's out there running for his life, doing his thing. You know, they survived that part. But keeping an eye on Virginia Tech's quarterback room this week will be a major story as we get ready for the Commonwealth Cup with red-hot Virginia and the Hokies that really desperately need to win this week.
Yeah. By the way, do we have any more of that sprinkler maintenance from Lane Stadium? Do we have any of that captivating video that was available?
You think that was cold, Wes? Huh? Now, I will tell you.
Dax Hollifield jumping around in it. Dax Hollifield was jumping around in it.
Now, I will tell you, I've run through a few sprinklers in my time on a golf course, but it's normally been about 98 degrees in the middle of the summer on Bermuda. You give me 30 degrees with the wind blowing in Blacksburg and give me this. And Dax is over there acting like, man, come on, let's go. You know, the only thing missing with all this was a packed house. How crazy would that place have been if that had happened with 66,000 in there? Look at Dax. Oh, boy.
We got our best on it right here.
Yes,
hey, looks like we got it under control there, Bart.
That looked like me. I am the worst handyman in America. My wife would come down the steps and acknowledge this. No, Wes, let me tell you something. If we had a hammer nail competition, I'm telling you, I'm inept. I don't like it. I'm like, hey, I can write a check for this. You know, I'm willing to spread the wealth. I am the worst. If something needs to be fixed at the house, I'm picking up my phone. My wife will be the first one. Amy loves doing it, and she's good at it, and I'm awful, awful. So watching those dudes, I'm like, yeah, I look like me out there going, I don't know where it's coming from. Somebody call the plumbers. Get this thing turned off. I have no earthly idea.
Get somebody from grounds over here to stop the water.
What is going on over here? I mean, I don't know. Just
put
a doormat over the top of it. Let's just play some football. Just stay away from midfield. That water would still be on at Lane Stadium if I was in charge. I guarantee it'd be frozen.
Exactly.
But there's, goodness gracious. Crazy.
Exactly.
Crazy.
Oh, man. All right, when we come back, a quick check of basketball, both what has been played and what's ahead on both the men's and women's side. We get you set for a busy week of Packer and Durham, by the way. Full slate of football and a few other things to tackle along the way. We'll tell you about that more when we come back, and we will check a scoreboard when we continue on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, 844-SAY-ACCN. We'll try to squeeze a call in before we get out of here today. All right, I promise you. A lot of folks have been on hold. Okay, Wes, we got we've done some football, we've done some men's basketball, but we also had the ladies in action over the weekend as well from a scoreboard perspective.
Yeah, let's hop on the women's scoreboard here briefly. Jeff Walls, number 5, Louisville beat UT Martin 85-67. This was after they rolled 116 up on DePaul, right?
Yep.
NC State off the South Carolina win. Be interesting to see the women's poll come out later today, Pac. 52-point victory over Coastal Carolina. Coach Hilsman and Syracuse get Penn State 82-78. You see that BC won by 50? Yeah, you do.
Half a hundred.
How about that? 88-38. Yep. Notre Dame a winner over IUPUI. Virginia Tech. Kenny Brooks, another win for his squad the other night. Clemson beat College of Charleston. North Carolina over Charlotte. And Delaware edges Lance White and Pittsburgh, 85-79. Also, Mike Bray and Notre Dame's men finally got their home opener scheduled. Remember, they had played earlier against Michigan State and then had two or three ball games canceled because of the virus at their opponents. Notre Dame has been fine through this process, but they were able to play last night, a game you saw here on ACC Network. Prentice Hubb, who I expect to have a big year from a scoring perspective for Notre Dame, Nate Leshesky, 18-16 each, 12-0 run in the closing minutes, 78-70 against Detroit Mercy last night for Coach Bray. And the Irish, who had 5 in double figures, Dane Goodwin had 15-10 last night for Notre Dame.
I know tomorrow we will discuss the ACC Big Ten Challenge, which is going to get hopefully underway at most locales. Again, we told you about the ACC teams that are struggling from a COVID perspective. And we'll spend more time on that tomorrow. But there are some matchups that I am very interested to see how it plays out. And, you know, Duke, Illinois is one of them. Because, I what Michigan State did to Duke last week I thought was telling. And I'm curious to watch Duke's maturation process as they now get these young kids, because Illinois is going to come in there and stick an elbow in your nose. I got news for you. If you think Michigan State's tough, you'll get a load of what Illinois is going to do. So that is going to be fascinating to watch. And North Carolina's streak of losing to ranked teams, we gave you this one last week, 8 straight. I got news for you, too. Iowa's not going to be any fun party. That is not going to be for the faint of heart. So North Carolina and Duke, the two blue bloods in this league, no disrespect to Louisville, Virginia, or Syracuse, or Florida State, or anybody else, have two major tests coming up this week in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. But we'll get into that more, I'm sure, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, the key thing in the Carolina-Iowa game would be Luka Garza and Garrison Brooks, wouldn't it, Pac?
Oh,
just
Garza.
Just a matchup to keep an eye on for sure.
Well, Garza has been awesome. He was great last year, and he is lighting people up like a Christmas tree. So North Carolina's going to have their hands full with that. Again, I just hope we get these games in, right? Again, who knows how all this is going to play out. And last year was not the best of times for the ACC Big Ten Challenge from our perspective. And I think the Big Ten this year is outstanding. Really, really good. So we're going to have our hands full with this group now the next couple nights. But we'll talk about that real quick. And one more just real quick note before we take a call here. I did catch some of the North Carolina-Charlotte women's game yesterday on ACC Network. And Courtney's got her girls off to a pretty good start. Now, I wouldn't be a bit surprised to see North Carolina crack that top 25 here pretty soon. And I think you're right. I'm fascinated to see where NC State, what kind of jump they get for knocking off the number one team last week. And we know how good Louisville is. And Syracuse, when Q was on with us last week, they're off to a roaring start too. So I think the league is going to be very, very good from a women's basketball perspective. So keep an eye on all that stuff as we move on this week.
On this date in 1963.
All right. Give it to me. 63.
Yep, 57 years ago.
That's right.
Yeah, instant replay is used for the first time during CBS's coverage of the Army-Navy game.
How about that? And you know what's amazing, Wes, is I think that they're still looking under the hood to figure out that call. By the way, Army-Navy this week.
I didn't say review. I didn't say anything about review.
Oh,
I didn't bring up officiating.
I'm sorry. I just want to play the role. I just want to be
instant replay.
I just want to be Chris
television
Fowler.
Element.
I just want to be. I just want to be Fowler for 30 seconds. What's it feel like to be Chris Fowler? Just want to do that for you. By the way, Army Navy at West Point this weekend. I will tell you, it's my favorite game to go to in person. Army Navy. There's nothing like it. Nothing like it.
Yeah.
The best.
All right, let's get to calls.
All right, let's do Tremaine in North Carolina. He's been holding very patiently. Tremaine, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Good morning. Hope everybody's doing well. I got to
yes,
say,
sir.
This is a well, I guess first of all, I just want to thank you guys and the ACC Network, if I don't get to say it again, for everything you guys have done to allow us to watch sports in this crazy pandemic. And so everything that the ACC Network's done, your partnership with ESPN, I just want to say thank you. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
This is going to be some week, UVA sports. You got Michigan State, UVA on Wednesday. Then you got the Commonwealth Cup Saturday. I'm pretty sure that come Sunday, I'm going to need a stiff drink to reset my nerves. But my question I wanted to ask you guys is, who do you think has more of a emphasis and focus to pull out a victory more? Is it UVA needing to tighten up that secondary so that we don't get a horrific double play of 500 yards passing? Or is it Virginia Tech needing to figure out their quarterback situation? Who needs to focus on that more in order to get the victory Saturday?
Good question, Tremaine. I appreciate the call, and thank you for your patronage on both watching and listening. Wes, you and I may totally disagree on this. I think all the pressure, let me emphasize, 100% of the pressure is on Virginia Tech in this game for a lot of reasons. Number one, this season has spiraled out of control, surprisingly. I mean, after going 0 for November and then getting spanked Saturday night, and again, there's no shame in losing to Clemson. I get it. But November, I didn't think anybody saw 0 for November coming up with Justin Fuente's group. You lost to these guys a year ago, first time in forever. And for 365-plus days, Virginia Tech fans have had Virginia fans remind them of the cup. And that's personal. And you go for 0 for November, you get spanked by Clemson, you got quarterback situation that we don't know the answer to on a Monday. You lost to him a year ago. There's all kinds of crazy noise floating around Justin Fuente. Virginia's got their act together. They've won four in a row. Quarterback's healthy. They got the cup. I think the ball is exclusively in the court in Blacksburg, Virginia, Saturday. Don't you?
Yeah, I think so. The Hokies have lost four straight, 5 of 6. Their last win was Halloween. At Louisville in a 42-35 game. I don't want to say Virginia's playing with house money, but Virginia's playing with house money. I mean, they won last year, so they've exercised that demon. They've won four straight. They've turned their season around. After losing four straight at the start of the year when they after they beat Duke in week one, Virginia has – come back and kind of found it. And now all of a sudden they got a chance to finish, with a pretty serviceable record. And a good year for Bronco Mendenhall that saw a lot of change there. Brennan Armstrong is going to be a problem for the Hokies. A healthy Brennan Armstrong for sure. Want to know a little bit more about where Lavelle Davis is and his return. He got shaken up and left the game the other day. Poljan, the tight end. Defensively, the Cavaliers have made it work. Now, they gave up 520, but they made it work. And there's been a little duct tape involved in that defense this year. So let's see what happens. But I agree with you. I think all the leverage belongs to the Cavaliers and all the pressure belongs to the Hokies.
You know, had Virginia not won the game again, the biggest word in sports, what I tell you, you hear the word if, it's fantasy.
Yeah.
If they had not won the game last year, you'd go, man, if you don't beat this Virginia Tech team, when are you going to beat them? Different pressure goes on the folks in Charlottesville.
Right.
That isn't the case. Virginia's got all the momentum. They won last year. And the Hokies, Grissel threw for 520, but Virginia Tech doesn't play that game. They want to pound you and run the football. They're not going to throw it for 500. Yeah. So I think this is a big, big week for Justin Fuente and Virginia Tech Nation. This is one of those that, hey, you know what? It's been a lousy second half of the year, but we can kind of go into whatever postseason looks like if we get a W on Saturday night. Be an important game, no question.
We've got a great show for you tomorrow. Tom Luganville will be here. So will the Notre Dame linebacker, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa.
Great
player. One of the leading candidates for ACC Defensive Player of the Year. Look forward to visiting with J-O-K, by the way, on this show tomorrow. Tony Bennett later in the week as well, as the Cavaliers basketball schedule gets underway. Thanks to Drew and Josh. Lauren, great job. Lewis as well on the front. The folks on the back row and in the bunkers. Stay safe, folks. See you tomorrow morning at 7.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.